prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Have you got game? Got game on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game, a show by gamers for gamers, right here on Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Each and every week, we bring you the latest in video game news, reviews, and interviews. We delve into the octagon through Xbox Live as the UFC app went live just before the new year, although it was far from smooth. More rumors surface about the next generation of consoles being revealed this summer, while we look ahead to the next month or so of big-name titles and drift back to the wonderful downloadable year that was 2011.
Have you got game?
Lowdown. This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the first edition of 2012. We got Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb. Yes. I'm Zach Cooper. No Momin Qureshi. He has decided to take...
jury duty, wasn't it?
Yeah, jury duty at the airport.
Yes.
No, he's got other obligations, and Momin will hopefully be joining us in the near future, although we're hearing rumors that next week might be a no-go as well. We'll see what happens. I think he's trying to play the jury duty card, but it's just tough to believe at
this
point.
Busy. That's what I keep hearing.
It has been a busy holiday period. Not so much for the gaming, unless perhaps you've gone back.
I played a lot of video games.
There wasn't much that came out. I mean, at this point, just for my Skyrim update, I'm nearing triple digits at this point.
Nice.
So life has been good to my Skyrim addiction.
And those of us who are normal people, we've had a chance to go back and play those games that we missed the first time around because we're so busy playing, you know, our 3DSs and other games.
So for clarification's sake, you're grouping yourself in with the normal people? Is that what that was?
I left myself open for that one.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little easy.
You're asking for it.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one.
Okay, so you were, though, just for clarity's sake.
So tell me about this UFC Xbox experience you had.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it was just before New Year's Eve. UFC 141 was on the go in Vegas, and this was sort of how Xbox Live was giving birth to their baby that was their partnership with the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And so they gave away a bunch of these free tokens, and I got a free token as well to get the UFC 141 event. And here I was, excited about it. A few days prior, I went in, checked out the app, looked at some videos, all of which really comes from UFC.com, but it's in a nice packaged application. The interface is beautiful looking. You can see what your other friends have done, the people on your friends list, and how interactive they've gotten with the app. You can pick who you think's going to win each fight. There's relatively solid background information on who the fighters are. You know, generally a short paragraph on what they've done recently. It gives you their last three fights, the outcomes, not videos of them. And based on that, you can make your selection. And in theory, after you make your choices, you can see what your friends pick. I could never get that to work. And that seemed to be a running theme with the evening of that was December 30th with UFC 141. So my experience mirrored that of a lot of people from you know, how I interpreted it based on what I saw on Twitter and some stuff on Facebook and general Google searches. And that was, it was an absolute miserable experience. And, you know, I touched base with a PR guy who sent me a code for it. And he said, so what'd you think? And, I'm not going to delve into the specific details, but basically I said the experience was nothing short of terrible because it really was. For anyone who has a vested interest in watching UFC, this would be a huge letdown. It took 25 minutes to finally connect, which meant that I missed 2.5 fights at this point.
Oh, no.
Once we got into it, we were feeling pretty good about it. I was watching it with a buddy who came over, and we were just having some pops and enjoying the fights, what we could see of the fights. Picture quality, we ordered it in HD, and needless to say, the entirety of what we did see was not in HD. You'd have screen freezes, you'd have rebuffering, and oftentimes after the buffer, you'd come back with a very grainy image that basically looks like a YouTube video that you've expanded beyond, you know, I don't even know. I mean, you know what I mean. It's a grainy image that just does not look suitable for a high-definition TV. So we're watching it through this, you know, getting pretty frustrated, especially when you'll have that screen freeze at a time where you know something big is about to happen. In fighting, obviously, you know, the biggest impact can happen in, you know, the flash of a flash? Very quickly. Yeah, this is my New Year's brain happening right now.
Very smooth.
So basically, we end up, you know, fighting through this, pardon the pun, and we're watching what evidently is the fight of the night, which is the co-main event between Diaz and Cerrone. And this fight, for those who are familiar with the UFC and the event that just went down, it was a great fight. It was kind of back and forth. But in the middle of the second round, the screen freeze turns into a complete crash. And I cannot get back into this. And we're wondering what the hell's happened, because at this point, we're probably the most lively we've been all night.
You're
really getting into it.
In this.
Exactly. We became invested in it, and we couldn't get it back up and running. We're trying to reboot the app, and it's the same kind of frustration that happened when we were just trying to get into it in the first place, and that was, sorry, this app is unavailable right now. Please try again later. So you keep doing the down A, which is basically just cycling the process that you're trying to go through. And eventually you get in, and it's just starting to play fights from earlier in the night. All the while, you know that the stuff that's going on is going on, and you're just not privy to it. So, when it was all said and done, I didn't get to see the end of Diaz Cerrone, which evidently had a well, I don't know. Anytime it goes to the judges, it's relatively anticlimactic, I think. But I'm not a huge fight guy, so don't blame me if you think I'm wrong. And I never got to see the Lesnar Overeem, which was obviously the main event. And I'd seen, you know, based on Twitter after the fact, that Brock Lesnar retired after losing this fight. And I'm like, oh, man, so obviously something crazy happened. So I went, you know, I got a torrent. I checked it out. But obviously that didn't change my experience with UFC 141 on Xbox Live. Now, for those who did order it, I think it's whether you paid money or not. I think you are going to get access to a fight in the future at some point. I haven't gone back to the app to see what's, you know, kind of transpired since. I'd imagine they probably have just updated some videos. There's probably an apology. But the official comment from Xbox Live is that you will be credited with a future fight. But at the same time, I mean, for those who really wanted to watch UFC 141, yeah, it's very much unforgivable.
Yeah, and it's awesome that they're actually going to sort of reimburse the people who paid money for this, because it sounded like a terrible experience. But now, sitting on the outside here, someone who wasn't able to actually participate because I was busy working at the time, I'm sitting here going, well, I don't care about this app anymore, because it's such a bad experience to me. It seems like the only way they're going to solve this issue is by doing this whole thing again. And I'm guessing it's probably, from what you described, a server issue. They probably did not have enough capacity for the number of people who are actually visiting there. Maybe, you know what, knowing how some of these video game systems work, this was probably a test. Probably see how well that worked. And
well, you don't test on a pay-per-view event. You don't test on something that you charge $40 for. You know, for those who didn't pay anything, it's a pain in the ass, but you didn't lose anything other than your time and your emotional stability, perhaps. But yeah, I mean, as far as lost faith, I think that's probably the biggest thing with the UFC app on Xbox Live, because when it comes time to that next event, I'm not relying on this thing again. And I, you know, there was definitely some skepticism as far as how stable it would be in the first place. And there was a lot of uncertainty, but because I hadn't put any cash into it, it wasn't as big of a deal. I mean, I was checking it out because I was curious about the UFC, and for the most part, I was reviewing it for the show. And so I think there you have it. You know, tread with caution if you are looking to experience a pay-per-view event on this app. With that being said, as far as day-to-day content, I mean, it looks pretty cool. If you're a fan of UFC, and you know, there is stuff to check out, and it's all presented in a reasonable manner that really looks good on the eye. As far as, you know, I guess we have a little bit of time to get into what we did during the holidays as far as gaming's perspective was concerned. You know, holidays are a big time. Did anyone get anything for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is you're celebrating?
Ryan and smiling.
You're leading me up, but I've already shown you this, so I got myself.
What is that?
It's pretty and
a
red.
A really bright red 3DS.
It's shiny.
I've joined the other side, as it were, and I'm actually having a lot of fun with it.
Are you eating any words that you spewed before the new year?
Well, you know what? It still doesn't have that many games. Really does need like a few more games to really feel like a great purchase. But right now, it's a good purchase. I mean,
that you didn't make.
That I didn't make. That's probably also why it's a good purchase.
Christine was asking about one particular game. What was that you were asking him?
I believe it's Kid Icarus. Oh no, the
Face Raiders.
The
game.
Face Raiders game.
What is the Face Raiders game?
It's a game where you shoot balls at your face.
Oh, okay. That sounds like fun.
And the goal is to get them in your mouth. And it's a fun little game that sounds very dirty.
So have you thrown?
I haven't
some,
tried this.
No,
at all.
No balls.
No,
in the
I got NASCAR Unleashed with a 3DS of my family, so I played that.
They evidently know you pretty well.
Yes, yeah. I guess so. Pushmo, which I'll be reviewing later in the show, is a game that I immediately bought as soon as I opened to this thing on. And I downloaded that Zelda Four Swords game. You remember when we were at the Nintendo
Event in
E3? Yeah. I've gotten that. I haven't actually had a chance to open up and play yet because I've been so busy playing Pushmo. But it's sitting there on my hard drive. And the awesome thing is that as soon as I got this, I took out the 2 gig SD card, stuck it in 8 gig. I'm just downloading games right now and saving them. That's all I'm doing. I will have quite a collection by the end of the weekend
because
I got
library.
Paid today. So I plan to go and make a few more purchases.
And it's funny because today is also, it's not just payday, but it's reason to celebrate for another reason because it is one Brian Calhoun's birthday, if I am not mistaken.
Woo!
Due to budget cuts, we couldn't get Mario to come in for you this year,
Mario.
But know that he is thinking of you. And
I'm surprised, and thank you very much for saying that.
Hey, no problem. And hopefully some people will write some nice comments on some of the blog entries that you've been doing. Check out sportsnet590.ca. A lot of good stuff from Calhoun up there.
We have actually gotten a few more comments in the last couple of days. There's some people who really went, I don't want to call anyone out, but there's some people that really went off on Xbox, and they seem to be really upset about Blood Rain, the latest Blood Rain betrayal
I saw
game.
That comment.
Yeah, there was a comment there that started off.
I wasn't sure if it was like spam from like an opposing developer or something, because there was not a lot of love for Blood Rain Betrayal.
Or the Xbox. That's something that's up for discussion. I mean, heck, why don't you guys go to the blog right now, and if you like the PlayStation, if you like the Xbox, tell us why, because we actually want to know what you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I had a friend in particular who came, the guy actually who was watching UFC 141 with me. He was looking at making a purchase. He had just moved from London, England, and he couldn't bring his 360 over. I think it actually crashed on him out there, but it was an old school model. And he was asking me if he should get a 360 or a PS3, and we had an age old discussion what it is you're looking for. But eventually, I told him I think the best bet would be to get a 360. He's got the Kinect. A living room that is definitely a little more spacious and Kinect friendly, and so his wife would certainly get some advantage out of that as well. So I lent them a whole whack of games that hopefully they're enjoying.
Nice.
But that's sort of, you know, the extent of my holidays as far as gaming was concerned was playing a little bit more on my Android tablets.
Nice.
We'll get into some Android games a little bit later on, but it was that and Skyrim. And I got to devote all the time that I had for video games to Skyrim, which was enjoyable. And now I think I'm at 94 hours or something. And
I think I rounded 82.
Still so much to do. And we were comparing how many active quests we've got.
Oh, so many. I still have so many to do.
It never ends. How about yourself? What was your holidays? What were your holidays comprised of as far as gaming?
I got to enter the exciting world of Arkham City.
There it is. Finally.
Finally.
Welcome.
Finally, under the Christmas tree.
You cut the ribbon.
Batman was there for me. And I'm loving it. It's so gritty and dark, but I was texting Moman the other day because he was at work and I was playing it. I was like, this game is like my ADD nightmare because I'll be doing one thing and I'll hear a phone ringing and I'll have to start and run down and do that and then I'll have to do that. Moment's like, you don't have to do these side quests. I'm like, you obviously have never experienced
the
level.
Yeah, he's not an RPG guy though either. So
I'm like, I have to run and do everything. So I have like 18 things that I can do right now, but it's cool. I'm loving it so far.
And yet you're also of the people that loved Saints Row the Third.
That's right.
The game where you can get carried away doing absolutely nothing.
For hours. Yeah. It's awesome.
At least this way you're fighting crime as opposed to creating it.
That's very true.
Yeah. That sort of makes me feel
a
little
nice
better.
It's a nice counterbalance.
We'll get into some more Batman talk in just a couple of moments as well. What's to come in this early portion of 2012. It's our first episode of the year. This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We've got game. Do you in the game?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I am Zach Cooper. That's Brian Calhoun. And
happy
to
birthday.
His left, to your right, my left, is Christine Chubb.
Yay!
Momin Qureshi is MIA, but sort of live tweeting the taping of this from elsewhere. He will be back in a couple of weeks. We miss you, Momin, and Happy New Year. And Happy New Year to everyone. I think it's a little late to get into that stuff, but it's not too late to get into what we can expect from this new year of gaming. Obviously, it's going to be another busy, busy year as far as the releases go. A lot of it's coming out in February.
Yeah.
And included in that February grind is a game that sort of ties into what we talked about last segment, and that was Batman Arkham City. But this time, it's Gotham City Impostors. If you're not really familiar with it, it's a highly customizable game that takes place in the Batman universe, essentially. It's a first-person shooter. It's a downloadable title. It was supposed to come out on January 10th. Just a couple of days away from this taping, and yet it's been pushed into the busy month that is February.
And that's the strangest thing, because what do we have in January? We have that Silent Hill HD collection. We have Konami's Never Dead, which is supposed to be coming out on January 31st.
Yep, right at the end.
And then there was supposed to be Gotham City Impostors, which I always want to call Arkham City Impostors, but... brand confusion caused by the people at Warner Brothers running the Batman's license.
And they're making you do crazy things with your hands, too. He's doing the running in the forest hands, just
this
so you know.
This is actually the Danger Will Robinson hands, but let's focus on the video games right now.
Okay.
I just got to wonder what the heck has to be wrong with that game that they literally decided to push it back in the business.
Maybe it's server issues. Maybe it's something that they want to get fixed before they release it. And as far as, you know, our year-end show, a lot of beefs had to do with games that were coming out that weren't ready. Okay. I'm fine with them pushing it back to February if that's the case, if they've got some Band-Aids that they need to find to cover some errors. Get it right the first time. But yeah, I mean, as far as this month goes, right after the holidays when you don't have much cash, this is when you want to get out the downloadable titles. One that's coming out right, well, actually, NFL Blitz just came out. I guess it was on Wednesday the 360, and I think it was Tuesday on the PS3, if I'm not mistaken. Might have been the same day on both. I'm not entirely sure. But it's out now. We'll get review on that next week. Mm-hmm. And also, Choplifter HD. If you remember, I mean, this is one of the games that I loved on the original Nintendo. It was probably one of my favorite games. It was just that side-scroller where you've got the helicopter and you need to drive to the other side, avoid guns and whatnot, and pick up these hostages or prisoners or people that need rescuing and then take them back to your base. I don't know if you remember this, but Konami's put out a new edition that's coming out on the 11th, and it looks so good. It's called Choplifter HD. We're definitely going to have some thoughts on that in the near future.
Sounds
because
a little
I'm
bit
ready
like
for
Renegade
it.
Ops. For
I was
going to
think of that too, yeah.
Kind of, but it's all in the air, and it's all side-scrolling, and I mean, Renegade Ops, it was a game that we reviewed. I guess it was October or November or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, it was a top-down view that you kind of drive around. And you and Moment both had a lot of fun with it.
You had
some frustrating
times.
Moments. But this is definitely a side-scroller. I think there are some tweaks to the perspective because of the graphics and how they've been updated, and it looks really good. But this is a game that, I mean, downloadable titles, a lot of them, a lot of the good ones at least, will have some nostalgic elements to them. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's the reason why I'm looking forward to Choplifter HD the most. So that's January. That's your Gotham City Impostors news. Before we get into what's coming up in February, an interesting story that isn't really out of left field because there have been rumors about it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
And really, this is just a rumor as well. But according to a British video game blog, MCV, you've probably heard of it. And if not, there it is. They're saying, based on... what do they say? A 100% concrete, ultra high level source. Both the new ultra high level.
It's the ultra high level. Yeah.
Not
really
just
sells
high level.
They wear black suits and sunglasses. Both the new Xbox and the PS4 will be shown at E3, and we've kind of talked about this. And maybe this is just another rumor, but someone, the online editor for MCV, his name's Ben Parfit. He's basically putting his own neck out there and saying, you know, this is me. I'm saying it. I got a source, maybe multiple sources. Yeah. It's happening. And
there's arguments that can be made for both sides. I mean, obviously, it's time to move on. And we
it's not time to move on. Sorry, go ahead.
Are you really satisfied with the graphical level power of your Xbox?
Certainly.
Skyrim looks awesome.
100%. And Skyrim isn't even the tip of the iceberg as far as the quality of graphics. I mean,
I don't agree with you at all. I think that as far as graphics, I think we could do
one demanding
so much.
SOB.
Yes, I am. For $300, I will demand a
$300 that you paid how long ago?
Yeah, so you have to think
your
about it.
Your investment has been paid off in spades, my friend. You are getting so much from your Xbox. You are getting so much from your PS3, in theory. You know, I don't know what weight you have as far as, you know, playing one to the other. Yeah. But this current generation of consoles still has several years of life left. Every year we're seeing games that push the graphical limits, that push it that much more. They have different levels of integration. The indie apps, the indie games, I mean, they're getting so much better. It's still at the price point where you can afford to get these games. There have been very few games, especially from the AAA titles, the big blockbuster titles that come out on these current generation consoles, that I'm disappointed in as far as a graphical standpoint. Whether it's the actual gameplay and whether that lives up to my expectations, that's another matter. But how these games look and sound, I can't ask for any more.
Remember E3, you and me, we got to see Battlefield 3 on the PC.
Yes.
Not the Xbox,
yes.
The P3. Remember how good that looked?
Yes.
Imagine having that in your living room.
If I wanted to spend hundreds upon hundreds of dollars to get it on my PC, I could.
Or if you wanted to, say, maybe have Microsoft and Sony release their next console.
And then you go through that other cycle as well, where these developers can't quite grasp the hardware. And so they're playing, they're putting out these games that might look good, but they don't feel good. They're glitchy. I mean, there are so many issues that come with mastering a console. And I feel that we've just started to see that now in the last couple of years.
I don't think you can sit there and say Skyrim was your favorite game of the year and then complain about glitchiness in other consoles. I think glitches.
Yeah, you can tolerate it if it is a game of a supreme quality. Yeah. Elsewhere. I mean, I can deal with a crash here and there. That's fine. I can deal with a backwards flying dragon. That's fine. But the game plays so well otherwise. Skyrim is a pretty good example of a studio mastering the capabilities of a console. Yeah. Not everything is flawless, but it's pretty damn close outside of some technical issues.
And luckily for you, if we do get new consoles next year, the first year of consoles will pretty much be Xbox 360 games. So there's really no reason for you to complain.
It's a
cheap. You're already happy with the level of games you have.
It means that if I want to be able to keep up with the industry, I've got to shell out another $300, $400, $500, whatever it may be, to get that next generation console. When
Welcome
I know
to video
the game.
Gaming.
Well, it's the same sort of deal, though. If you're talking about, are we ready to move on? I'm personally not ready to move on. I think we can still get several more years.
Yeah.
We're seeing more studios pop up and they're making games and they're suitable. I mean, people are catching up to the consoles now. I don't think these Xbox 360s, the PS3s have been mastered yet.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of iOS games, Android games, and people are mastering those consoles as well. And you don't need to keep providing upgrades for these things, because just let the games catch up and stay on a consistent basis. When you get to the point where you're demanding so much, you're only going to be let down more and more.
And as much as I don't completely agree with you, there is an argument there that I
thank
also
you. Thank you.
Somewhat see, because for Microsoft, and maybe not as much for Sony, considering the troubles they've had with the PlayStation 3 and how much better their position would be if they actually did make a stronger PlayStation 4, you know, considering everything that's happened in the last couple of years with Anonymous taking down their framework, stuff like that. If they went to a PlayStation 4, they could rebuild that, make it stronger. But if you're Microsoft right now, you're sitting there going, you know, we just launched this update. You know, we have the Kinect, which has sold gamebusters, which a lot of people are really liking. It's not exactly great for us right now to release that next Xbox console if you're Microsoft. So personally, I think we will see the new consoles at either this E3 or next E3, but there's arguments on both sides for it may be there, it may not be there. Right now, it's too cloudy to actually make a judgment call.
Well, I mean, Sony said all last year that there's still so much life left in the PS3 that any rumors about a new one coming out next year were going to be false. And I mean, obviously, they're going to say that even if it would be coming out, but I totally agree with them, and I agree with you that there's, especially with, like you said, all of the new stuff coming on for the Xbox, the fantastic system that still exists in the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 2 still selling, that bringing in another console and
Saskatoon?
Yeah, that's right. It's unnecessary, but I think they could probably give out much more at E3. I mean, let's hope for a big announcement this year, but let's hope it's not
the big
that I have to spend out $500 for a new system.
Yeah.
The only big announcement we can guarantee is the Wii U will be there.
Maybe we'll get to touch it this year and play a little more with it. An actual game.
I mean, the Wii obviously needs a new iteration.
Yeah.
I think we can agree on that. I'm definitely not disputing the idea that they're making these next generation consoles.
No.
In fact, Mike Eppel from 680 News, the business department, he sent me an article midweek talking about the fact that Arcadium, which is a studio responsible for a ton of casual games, probably the biggest casual game developer or among them, has signed a multi-game, multi-console, multi-year at that partnership with Microsoft to develop games for them for the 360. 360, probably for the Windows Phone, and also, I would imagine, for whatever the next Xbox is going to be called. I'm not disputing the idea that, you know, it is going to be shown off. I'm not disputing the fact that they are making these things. I just don't feel that we need it. I mean, it's one of those consumerism ideologies that is revolving around the idea of actual consumption and demand, and the fact that we always need something new. We always need a new shiny toy. And, you know, I'm definitely playing on both sides of that as well. I just bought a second tablet. I mean, tablets are relatively new in their lifeline, and I just picked up my second one over the holidays, and I love it, and I love the idea of having a new toy. But this one cost me $150 because of a great perk through work, and that was a fantastic purchase. I consider that to be a solid investment. If I'm required to basically shell out another $300, $400, $500, whatever it is, to get a new console, and then I'm sure it's going to be backwards compatible because you got to keep people happy, but at the same time, it's not going to be living up to that next gen's capabilities. I just don't see the point. I think when you're completely tapped out, when every studio is basically telling you, we need something more powerful, our games just, you know, you can't handle our games, that's fine, but I just don't think we're ready yet.
No.
I don't think we need it. We're ready.
We're ready.
Calhoun's ready for it. Calhoun, the baller, who's got gold watches, gold earrings, and
it's my birthday. These are all gifts.
Are those diamond-laced glasses you're wearing?
These are all gifts that nice people gave me. It is my birthday, after all.
We got to run. Quickly, what's coming up around the bend? You talked about the fact that Konami's putting out Never Dead at the end of the month, at the end of January. February is ridiculous, and among the titles coming out are a few that I'm very much looking forward to. Kingdoms of Amalur: The Reckoning.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, Chubb, you and I are very much cut from the same cloth as far as our levels of RPG appreciation, and I think probably by the time that rolls around, I might be done with Skyrim.
I'm not
entirely sure, but it's also going to be a soul sucker from that perspective.
Speaking of new consoles, the PS Vita will be coming out next February on the 22nd.
There you go. Another busy entity in the
Uncharted and all those other PS Vita games.
Yep, and SSX, which is a snowboarding game that we've all been looking forward to. UFC Undisputed 3 is finally going to come out. I'm not entirely sold on how far that's moved forward, but you know, we'll obviously see. Same deal with Twisted Metal, a PS3 exclusive that has obviously been in the works for quite some time. The times that I've got to play it, I haven't come away overly impressed. I don't know if what I require from a game has changed at all, but you know, I'm not exactly overhyped about that.
And it just may be that type of game may not appeal to today's market. And I've kind of played the game a few times myself, and I get a similar feeling.
Yeah, but you know, we were talking about indie titles as well, and not necessarily indie titles, but downloadable titles a lot that have nostalgic appeal to them. Twisted Metal was, I think, the first game or one of the first games that I got on my PlayStation or PlayStation 2. I can't remember which one it was. But either way, Syndicate, which is kind of like a Deus Ex kind of game put out by EA. That's going to be a lot of fun from the looks of it. Final Fantasy 13-2. That's coming out in February as well. Busy times. Oh, Darkness 2. We didn't even talk about some of the CanCon. Put out by 2K Games, developed by a studio out
Digital
from
Extremes,
yeah, from London, Ontario.
Who helped make the Unreal Engine, which Epic Games are based on, like Gears of War 3.
Yeah, huge engine, and obviously a big deal from that perspective. We'll get to our reviews in a matter of moments, and still a ton of news that we just didn't have time to get to. We will get to all that in just a matter of moments. This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb. I'm Zach Cooper. Moment is not here. The Qureshi will be back in the near future, but he's got some stoof to handle, so we'll let him off the hook. Even though it is the first show of 2012, kind of a big deal.
A little bit.
No moment PQs. All right, so let's get into the review section right off the bat. Obviously, it's a pretty quiet time. We'll have NFL Blitz for you next week. It just came out recently. Calhoun recently got a Nintendo 3DS,
yes,
and he's still smiling. I've never seen this man smile so much. It might be the gold watch, the gold earrings, the diamond-laced
just
glasses.
Just leave my birthday gifts alone for a second.
He's big pimping for 2012. It is the year of the big dog. And let's start off with your first ever 3DS game review. The game is Pushmo.
Yes, and it's a game that you can get off the 3DS store. It would cost you about $7, and with every console, there is a game or a selection of games that you really have to get that really define it. For me, for the original DS, Scribblenauts was the game that defined the
fantastic
three
and Professor Layton.
Professor Layton as well. Yeah. So far, although there was a limited number of games to the 3DS, right now I think Pushmo is the game that defines the 3DS right now.
What is Pushmo, Brian Calhoun?
Pushmo is a puzzle game. You get about 200 of these little Pushmos for $7. And to beat the puzzle, you have to push and pull these blocks. Now, each Pushmo is made up of different size and shaped blocks. And you got to push and pull them to sort of make yourself a path from the bottom all the way up to the top. You get to the very top. You beat the puzzle.
We've seen this kind of thing in traffic jam games before, you know, the parking lots where you got to move the cars to create a path. It's that kind of thing?
I would consider it to be more like Catherine, I guess. When you're sort of climbing up in Catherine.
Catherine with a C.
Or a K.
In the game, yes, sorry.
Yeah, well, actually, you're right. On the box, it has a C, doesn't it?
So you're I'm glad that happened.
You know, Catherine, you're climbing up these block puzzles, trying to get to the top, and you move blocks around. Similar to that, you are trying to get yourself to the top of this puzzle by moving these blocks forward and backwards to get yourself up to the top. So I think Catherine's probably a better.
It's Catherine without the sexuality and the adultery and.
It's a family friendly Catherine. For everyone. Okay.
And it's only $7.
Yeah, and you actually get a lot of content. Like I said, 700 of these little puzzles.
200.
Oh, sorry, 200 of these little puzzles for $7. Yeah. You're right. You also get a puzzle creator, which allows you to make your own puzzles and then share them with the rest of the game community. And actually, one of my favorite parts of actually doing that is that when you create a puzzle and upload it to the rest of the game community, it'll show up as a picture, which you have to take off your 3DS and put somewhere on the internet so others can access it. But it's a picture of your puzzle beside a picture of a QR code. So when you want to download these Pushmos, you just take your 3DS camera, you point it up to, say, your iPhone, your laptop, your television, whatever you have hooked up to the internet, and you actually just scan the QR code using your 3DS. The puzzle will automatically appear inside the game. It's that simple.
Can you not go online through the game on your 3DS? Because that's got Wi-Fi capabilities.
I don't think so, because you would need a screen to scan the QR code.
Well, that's where the scanning issue comes in, but are there not ways to download it within the game?
You wonder what? I've been fooling around my 3DS, but I've never actually gone online with my 3DS yet. So I haven't actually, you know, experimented
with
that.
For shame.
Can I actually say something about the 3DS?
Do we have a choice?
Who in the world do I have to bribe to Street Pass? Because I've been carrying my 3DS with me everywhere I go.
So you have no friends, is what
you're saying. I have yet to get one Street Pass.
Well, if Moman were here and he had his turned on, which he hasn't had it for a while, he would be able to Street Pass you.
Do you not need to turn on your Wi-Fi for that?
I think my Wi-Fi's turned on. Yeah, my Wi-Fi's turned on.
Oh, okay. But you just haven't gone online with it.
Yes, I haven't gone on the internet. I've downloaded games from the internet.
Gotcha.
I just haven't searched the internet.
So back to Pushmo.
Yeah, Pushmo is a great puzzle game. Really, my only complaint with Pushmo is that it's a slow burn. You got about 40 to 60 puzzles that are really simple. It really handholds you for the first part of the game to teach you what's going on. And most of the gameplay is, like I said, pushing and pulling. There's also these little gadgets. They call them gadgets inside the game. They're basically switches to make, say, every block of the same color jump out, you know, all the way at once. Or these little paths, little shortcuts will take you from one part of the puzzle to the other. You know, there are a few things to learn, but I felt that it took too long. Like, what it was trying to explain really could have explained a lot quicker, and I would have been a lot happy with that.
So if you want some hand-holding before balls to your face, get Pushmo.
Anyhow, Christine, moving on.
Is that no? I thought that was kind of... You put it out there. I'm just talking about the 3D, 3DS.
Don't attach me to that. That's all you. I had nothing to do with that.
All right.
Overall, Pushmo's a 9 out of 10. I think if you have a 3DS... You really have to get this game because there's not that many games really.
So would that be among your favorite downloadable titles then of recent history?
Yeah, actually, yeah, it would definitely be on my list. I have Pushmo, Trenched was a really great.
Yeah, you love Trenched.
Trenched because it was just such a. I found it so funny. I love the world that Trenched is in.
An Xbox Live Arcade game.
Yes, made by Double Fine, who also made Stacking and who made Psychonauts years ago. It's really, when you think about it, it's a tower defense game. It is kind of different from most tower defense games because you actually have this little guy you can walk around with after you set up all your defenses.
Kind of like a mech,
and you can actually get deep in the action. But really what makes the game so great, so beloved by so many people, is just the writing and the characters and the universe it's all set in. It's insane in a great way. And that's why I like Trench so much.
And that was part of the Summer of Arcade, and you...
No, it was literally
just
the
before?
Week before.
So it was basically, it was just unofficially.
Yeah.
I'd say it was unofficially part of the Xbox Live Summer of Arcade. You bring up Insane, another game from that Summer of Arcade series, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, probably one of my favorite downloadable titles of this past year. It was kind of like a side-scroller. We're in this UFO kind of craft, and basically you're maneuvering around this world, messing around with different elements. You got so many different gadgets that you can utilize. We've seen games like this before, but there are few that have grasped the level of beautiful atmosphere that Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet brought to
and
us.
And I remember when we played the interview that you interviewed the creator, the art director on this game, and he's not a video game guy. I think he's like...
It was his first game. He's the guy, the animator behind The Iron Giant and a bunch of other animated movies. It was phenomenal.
And when you talked to him, he said, you know what, I didn't really want to get into video games, but it's like, okay, I guess I'll do it once these guys talk me into it. I'll go play some video games. And the guys who are coding the game and all that stuff is like, no, you stay away from video games. He wants you just to design it. So it was really interesting to see what an outside perspective could bring to a video game. I thought it really worked.
Yeah, it wasn't entirely like that. Basically, what happened was some people approached him about making a game, and he said he doesn't know the first thing about making games, but he told them what he would like from a video game, and then they kind of all collaborated and put it together. But it was a small group. I can't remember how many people were involved, but what they brought out, I felt, was a masterpiece. How about you, Chubb? What were some of your favorite downloadable titles?
You already mentioned Brian. Stacking was by far one of my favorite.
Brian Stacking?
Brian Stacking. No, because Double Fine made them
It's really hard to stack Brian's.
Especially with all that bling on. It was a great little game. It came out in February of last year, and you play as your little Russian doll family, and it's got this great like vaudeville 1920s look about it, and you have the whole bunch of little tasks to do, and you get to stack into other people, and everything. Everybody has like a different little characteristic that they have. Like somebody burps, and somebody plays the violin, and somebody does this and that, and it's just got so much personality. This game just overwhelms you with the cuteness of it, and like the silliness of it, but it's just so charming that I just couldn't stop playing it. And then there was From Dust, which was another Xbox Live Arcade game, which I loved. I mean, you could spend 2 hours getting completely frustrated over trying to build a mountain, and it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting that to ever come out, that kind of a game to ever come out, and it did. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And if you turn to the iOS, there was a couple games that you and me haven't talked about that we were just insane about this year, like Game Dev Story.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Game Dev Story was critically acclaimed, and in fact, people who were actually inside the industry, you talked to them, it's like, this is strange actually playing this game, because this is what I do in real life. Puzzle Agent 2, put up by Telltale, who made like Back to the Future, the Sam Max games. They've also put out a series of games called Puzzle Agent. There's actually two of them. The second one came out this year. Same great wacky world that they made in the first Puzzle Agent. The puzzles were a little bit disappointing, but I still enjoy the entire package. So,
If we're talking about iOS games, probably my favorite, the game that I may have spent the most time with this past calendar year, Jetpack Joyride, which I think probably came out around September or October, and every single person who I told about this game, and it ended up being a featured game on the App Store, they were just like, damn you, I can't put it down. It's amazing, and it's another side-scroller. You've got this jetpack, and basically you just tap the screen, you hold it, and you know, based on you know how long you're holding it or how hard you're holding it, the jetpack guy will go up and down. And a very simple premise, but addictive as hell. But going back to the downloadable titles on the consoles, I just want to mention one quickly, because it had been a PS3 exclusive, Joe Danger.
I thought you were going to say.
That is what you thought I was going to say.
No, I thought you were going to say NBA Jam.
NBA Jam was great. That was not an exclusive, and that was a fantastic title, On Fire Edition. But Joe Danger recently came out for Xbox Live Arcade, and they I can't remember what edition they call it, but it came out like in the middle of the holidays, so I don't know how much of a splash it made. I know there were a bunch of downloads when I checked it out, and the rating for it was very positive. But it's kind of like Excitebike, if you remember back in the day, and it's kind of like Trials HD, which was on the Xbox 360, but it's much more cartoony. And in the 360 version, for those who played it on the PS3, you get an ATV, and the weight of the ATV is much different from the motorcycle, and it just changes how you play the game. But there are so many. It's a complicated game. It looks like it's simple, and that's one of the frustrations that I had with it. One of the very few frustrations that I had is because remembering all the moves is difficult. And you'd think with a basic side-scrolling motorcycle physics-based game, it's relatively simple, but there's a lot to it, and it's definitely something that you should consider checking out. It's Joe Danger, and it recently came out on the Xbox 360. I think it came out January or February for the PS3. I reviewed it back then, and I loved it then, and I love it again. It's a beautiful thing. One thing I wanted to get to quickly before we wrap up, I think we all remember Disney's Epic Mickey, which came out on the Wii. I think it was either early last year or late last year or early this year, somewhere around then. And I think Moment and I reviewed it back then. I can't remember if Chubb, you got in on it at all.
No, I didn't.
It was also, very much it delved into the history of Disney and the history of Mickey as a character. And there were elements of it that were great, and there were elements of it that weren't so great as well, because it kind of turned into a first-person perspective for most of it, and you're using the Wii wand or the Wiimote, and you're trying to shoot down these things, and it was very much oversimplified, and there were just themes that you couldn't really grasp if it was for kids or if it was for adults. But there has been a listing that has since been taken down. I believe that's how the story goes about Disney's Epic Mickey 2. It'll be very interesting to see what they do, because it is coming out on the Wii again, but this time it's not a Wii exclusive. And again, this is just a rumor. So if it does indeed become true or truthful, they're planning for it to be on the 360 and the PS3 as well. No mention of the 3DS as far as we know, but there was a listing, and it has been removed. I think it was, StitchKingdom.com that initially had the story, and that has been taken down as well.
Yeah, they found it off of actually
D23.disney.go.com.
Yeah, which is an official Disney webpage.
Yes, it is an unofficial, yes. An official. Official.
Yes.
That was magnificent. So
we
that's
really synced up this year.
Yeah, well, it takes some time. A lot of holiday eats, and I know for me, I was certainly overeating while sequestered. But we put that behind us now. We move on. It's a new year. Also, actually, some DLC for Your Shape Fitness Evolved 2012. I got the New Year's package. I haven't done the weight loss program that it comes with, but it does have this jump rope thing as well. It's kind of like a survival mode where you last as long as you can stick to the rhythm and do the proper actions. And that was actually very cool. And it's a game that I hadn't played in a while. It's a great deal of inactivity for me these holidays. But as I try to get back into it, I'll definitely be doing some jump rope survival. So check out that DLC if you do have Your Shape Fitness Evolve 2012. If you don't and you've got the Kinect, you are missing out. We got to run. Plenty to come next week, including reviews of NFL Blitz. It's new. It's sizzling. We'll see if it's exciting and if it has much lasting appeal. That next week when we get more from Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, and not so sure about Moman Qureshi. He's questionable. He will be a game time decision. We'll find out. I should be here. I'm Zach Cooper. This has been Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.